There are times when people will express a complaint against the church by saying how the church is filled with sinners. They'll point to the bad behavior of many who have belonged to the church. But in many ways, when we really look at it, what's remarkable about the church is not the fact that there are sinners in the church. The remarkable thing are the saints, especially saints whose sanctity outperforms, in a sense, what our fallen human nature would be able to do by itself. And one of these great saints is Saint Catherine of Siena. In my first year here at the parish, when we were going through our Lenten season, what we had out on the station was the cross on Friday. We would have a gathering in the hall afterwards, and what we were showing are a series of videos by Bishop Robert Barron, which he entitled "The Pivotal Players." And so, going through some of the pivotal people that God raised up throughout the history of the church, dealing with six of them in that particular series, but he's done subsequent series as well. But one of the saints that he focused in on was Saint Catherine of Siena, and the incredible effect that she had in the life of the church in her day, but the incredible holiness of her own life. You know, sometimes people are seeking power in the church. But again, Bishop Barron points out the fact that the real power, if you really want power in the church, be a saint. The saints are the ones with really the influence, really the power in the church. And this is why kings and even popes would ask Saint Catherine for her advice in many ways, because they recognized her sanctity. They recognized that she was very close to God. And this is really what gives people a real power in the church. Saint Catherine also, you know, again, going back to that video, the pivotal players, Bishop Barron pointed out some pretty radical things that Saint Catherine did in order to try to root out sin from her own life, from her own heart, and things that would seem crazy to people in our day and age today. And he points out the fact that people of that time, in the 1200s, they knew what crazy was. They knew people who were not right in the mind, but they recognized that St. Catherine, even though some of the things that she did might seem crazy to some people, they weren't done by a crazy person. She was sincerely seeking that relationship with God. She was sincerely seeking the path of holiness. The very first time that I was in Siena, I believe it was in 1989, we were coming to the Church of St. Catherine in Siena, and we had Mass scheduled in one of the side chapels. And so because of our timing, when we got to the church, we were whisked away right away into this chapel before we had a tour of the church. And so we were in a side chapel, and the very first time in my life that I ever celebrated Mass ad orientem. Now, for all those who don't know what ad orientem is, it's where the altar was still attached to the wall, so I was celebrating Mass in this fashion, with all of my group standing there. And it's not so much the people being behind you, it's that we're all facing the same direction. That's the symbolism. It's not the priest having his back towards the people. It's the fact that we're facing towards the Lord. We're on that pilgrimage towards eternal life. That was the first time I'd ever celebrated Mass ad orientem. And of course, because we were a small group, they gave me enough hosts so that we would just have enough for the group that was there. And so again, went through the Mass, and I just assumed, as I was celebrating Mass, there was a door right over here. I just assumed that it was the tabernacle. But it was only when we had the tour of the church that I realized what was behind that door on that side altar where we were celebrating the Mass. We went on the tour of the church, and I saw that on the other side of that door was the head of St. Catherine. It was. I was looking around. I couldn't find my little prayer cards that I've got with the head of St. Catherine of Siena. I mean, she doesn't look all that pretty now, but she looks a heck of a lot better than I'll look 800 years after I'm dead. But you know, again, all of these remarkable things that we see, that God is giving us that assurance. Today, Jesus is talking about that unity that he has with the Father. That for anybody listening to Jesus, they're listening to the Father. That Jesus isn't doing anything on his own. It almost reminds me of the way that people try to divide God and the church. Say, well, the church says this, but what does God think? That's a distinction without the difference. Because Jesus said, whoever hears you hears me. And so there is no distinction. When the church teaches something, it's God who's teaching that. It's not simply the church. And so, again, we see that. And it's hard for some people to accept those kinds of things. But when we look at the saints who embodied this reality, embodied that obedience to the teaching of the church. And again, with St. Catherine, it wasn't a blind obedience. St. Catherine spoke to correct the Pope of the time, because those were the days when the popes were living in Avignon in France. And she went and told the Pope, you got to go back to Rome. You know. So she wasn't afraid to correct the Pope when the Pope was mistaken in something. But she was also very obedient to the voice of God that came through the church. So the saints are incredibly important for us, not only because they intercede for us before God, but also they give us that example of life, that example of holiness, showing us that it is possible for us to live a life of holiness. And with God's help, we can advance in that way of holiness. So on this Feast of St. Catherine, we ask for her intercession, the intercession of such a great saint, such a holy person, and pray that we would be able to follow, even in the smallest degree, the path that she followed.